So just for a basis, amen, we're going to look at verse 16 through verse 18 from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. And that's very interesting because in every calamity, we would think that, man, this is a time of fear. Amen. You know, this is a time of despair. But in all actuality and reality for us, the believer, amen, this really is a time for rejoicing. And we are to encourage one another, to comfort one another with the fact of knowing that if we're ready to meet God, if we're ready, amen, for the manifestation of his glory, then we rejoice. Amen. We are not in fear. Amen. We're not in anxiety, but we are rejoicing. Because why? We know that our redemption draws near. Amen. So we want to talk again from the text. Amen. We want to make sure that we are dressed for the trip. Amen. So are you dressed? Are you ready? Amen. Now, three important things that we begin to relate to. I'm going to take my time a few minutes because I want you to catch my point. I want you to understand that when we have packed up, when we have gotten ourselves prepared and we're wearing the appropriate clothing, amen, we are making sure to do inventory to ensure that we have all the components that are necessary for us to be ready to go. Last Sunday, we talked about three key areas. Amen. I might not have got to the third one so good, but I did touch two real good. And we want to just rehearse these just for your remembrance. Remember, when we talked about being dressed for the trip, we begin to talk about three key areas that are essential for us in order to be prepared and ready. We talked about being in position. Amen. That we have to be in position. And we have to understand by being in position, there are three components connected to you and I being in position as a believer. It says that we are washed. Y'all remember that? We are sanctified. And we are justified. Amen. So when we're in position, and this comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, talks about the fact of where we are positionally. Because when we are being prepared and made ready and we're getting things in order and in alignment with the Lord, we want to make sure, first of all, we are in position. Where are you seated? Amen. You're not just literally seated here in this assembly. You're not just seated here in your home or wherever place you might be watching us this morning, but you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. In other words, because of what Christ done for us, amen, in redeeming us, he brought us and put us in right position. Amen. So you have to know, first of all, I'm saved, right? Amen. And positionally, I am set and I am seated with Christ. Because otherwise, him coming may be an alarming distress for you. But the fact is that you are seated with Christ gives you hope, amen, and rejoicing to know your position is going to give you, amen, the ability and the privilege to go with him. Amen. So we are seated with him. Then secondly, we are positioned with him. And then secondly, we begin to talk about making progress. We have to be progressively moving forward. Amen. Progressively moving forward. Now, I want you to think about a moment where you are right now in relation to your position with Christ. Am I positioned in my faith? Am I positioned in my spirit, in my mind, in my will? Am I in the right place with Christ? And then, am I making progress? Because in every evaluation of our lives, we have to look at ourselves, right? We got to look in the mirror to see, where am I? Am I properly adorned? Am I properly covered? Am I properly dressed? Am I packed and made ready? Am I progressing where I was last month? Am I progressing in my spirit? Am I progressing in my ability to remain steadfast in my faith? Am I staying connected to my commitment and to my relationship with the Lord? And so you have to consistently see some progress. Amen. We don't want to regress. We want to progress. Amen. So we want to keep moving. So this is a part of a word that we talked about called sanctification. Because when you are saved and you're brought to Christ, and as Paul begins to discuss with us about the fact of Christ coming, making sure we are ready, we make sure we are sanctified, which means we are in position. Amen. We are progressing. Amen. Every day, amen, we should be moving in a right direction with the Lord. We should be more and more determined in our faith that I got to do better than I did on last week. Amen. I see some, all the, you know, we see the flaws, we see the failures, we see the mistakes in our lives, but we have to challenge ourselves because of who we are and whose we are, that we cannot afford to go back. We must keep moving forward. Don't sometimes you feel like you're stagnated, you're not really moving. Your mind is moving, but your body is not. Amen. And so what you must understand, there in every level of progression, there are going to be times when you don't feel like you are moving. It's not that you are not moving, but the fact is sometimes your body, come on somebody, whoo, cannot catch up with the magnitude of your spirit. Because you will find out after a while as you're progressing with God, you'll look back and say, I don't even know how I got here. Amen. Because you've been progressing in the spirit, but your body has not caught up with the reality of what Christ is doing in you. Amen. So, woo, hallelujah. Glory. Amen. So somebody say within yourself, I got to keep moving forward. In other words, we must not allow sin, amen. Remember, we said this last week. We don't allow sin to dominate, right? And we stop presenting or exposing ourselves to sin. In other words, we don't give sin the right, the privilege, amen, to utilize us, amen, for the things of itself, amen. But we are supposed to submit or yield our members as instruments unto righteousness. Not to unrighteousness, but to righteousness. So we have to stay in position. We got to keep progressing. You got to challenge yourself on every level. What the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 10, there's no temptation. Right? There's no temptation which has tempted you, but such as common. Right? Those things that are common to you. But God, He has already made a way for us to escape. So those commonalities of temptations that will come to try to stop your progress, we have to push through them. When there comes hardship to our determination to want to keep going, we got to keep pressing. We got to keep pushing. We cannot allow the flaws and the fallacies of the things we used to be and used to be into to stop us and to hinder us from going forward. Amen. Because if we allow the enemy the avenue, amen, to move in our lives and to dominate us, amen, he will always try to throw us into a negative state where sin begins to dominate us, but we cannot allow that. So that's why you got to keep pressing. Amen. You got to keep moving. You got to keep pushing. Sometimes sin is like a boulder. It tries to roll back on you. You're pushing up a hill, and after a while, you're losing strength, and it feels like you're sliding backward. Amen. But then you got to get some oomph down on the inside. You got to kick in another gear and say, wait a minute, I come this far by faith. Amen. I refuse to be dominated by the things that I've been delivered from. So I got to keep pushing. I got to keep progressing so that I will not allow myself to be entangled and to be caught up with the old ways, habits, and fears that have dominated me for so long. Have you ever been in something for so long, after a while it just became a norm? You know, it just habitual, right? Amen. And so what happens is, because we are familiar, that's the commonality, amen, of things that are familiar with the flesh. And when the flesh knows, amen, that we love to do something, the enemy uses it as his avenue to try to get inside of our mind and our will, to try to attract our focus and take us away from our progress. Now, I don't know about you, there are periods, and there, I don't know why the Lord take me this way, but I'm going with the Holy Ghost. But there are periods, there are seasons and times, whereas that we're doing so well, aren't we? Amen, man. We're excited about the Lord. Amen. We're feeling good. Amen. About our progress. Then all of a sudden, woo, Jesus, something comes in to interfere with our faith. Amen. Can you give them a little bit more air, please? You know, amen. Because we got the mask on and we want to keep everybody cool. Amen. You can breathe better when you're cool. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So and so we want to make sure, amen, that we are in a place where we'll keep moving. And sometimes you need a swift kick and say, wait a minute, hold on. Whose side are you leaning on? We are leaning on the Lord's side. And your progress must push you to the place. Because remember, Paul says he's sharing with us something about the coming of the Lord. But I'm just telling you from a reality point is that we got to keep progressing. Amen. We got to keep moving. We got to keep moving forward because it's important and it's essential so that we can hear the sound from heaven. Amen. So, and then there's a third part to this, we need to understand. When we're talking about progressing, we're talking about moving forward. Then there's a part that talks about perfected holiness. Thank you, Jesus. We have to move on to perfection. Perfected holiness. Amen. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Because we don't hear too much of holiness. Holiness is still right. Amen. Holiness is still right. So when we understand the aspect, when we have to keep moving, amen, we got to keep pushing, then what is it doing? It's ultimately leading you into a place of perfection, okay? So everything you are doing in your Christian life, the things that you are using to strengthen your life, the word and prayer and all the things that comes with that, amen, is helping to perfect you in your faith. Because I don't know about you, but did anybody know how to live holy when you first came to the Lord? Amen. We've been in church all our life, but we didn't know really how to live holy because we never made it a personal relationship. But when we made that commitment, we came to discover that there are still some things we got to do to grow into. So we got to receive, amen, that through our progression, we got to come to a place of perfected holiness. Woo, Jesus. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says something very important. Amen. It says, this: having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So how am I going to perfect holiness? How are we going to get there? What must I do better in order to make sure I can make this trip? We need a good cleaning out, don't we? Thank you, Jesus. Because we got to clean out some stuff, don't we? Amen. I won't use that one. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you need a good cleaning out. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, and it gets out the contaminants, right? The things that has grappled itself to the walls of your life. Amen. So the word will wash you. Amen. The word will cleanse you. Amen. The word will make you sanctified, purify us. And that's what he's saying here, is that, God requires, amen, a pure heart and a pure life. In other words, I have to have a commitment to give myself holistically over to him. Why? Because God already know your flaws. He already know your failures. He already know your uprising and your down sittings. He knows your fears and your anxieties. He knows everything about you. He said, I can even number the hairs on your head. Thank you. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. I think he know you pretty well if he can number the hairs on your head. Amen. So you must understand, in the clutch of all of this, in order for me to perfect holiness, I must align myself under the sovereignty and under his rulership, and to accept his guidance and his leading. What happens when the Holy Spirit tells you not to do something? What happens when the Holy Spirit tells you not to do something? The flesh tells you you can do it. Or there's a temptation that comes to you to make you feel like that you have to justify why you want to do it. Okay, stay right there. I'm coming on down there. And so we must understand that perfecting holiness also includes that we have to know where we are in the process. You have to know the things that are upsetting you, the things that are knocking you off course, the things that are challenging your life every day that wants you not to be obedient to the things of Christ. Amen. We all got some things, amen, that we have to work through. We got to press through. And we have to be willing, amen, to allow the Holy Spirit to perfect us. In other words, to mature us, to grow us up in the things of Christ so that we won't be easily moved. Amen. We won't be easily uprooted. Come on, somebody. Amen. We don't want to be just a root planted just on the top of the soil, because what happens when the sun hit it, it's going to burn up the root, because it has no what? It has no foundation. It's not properly rooted and grounded. So when we talk about perfecting holiness, why sometimes the Lord is harder on you is because God knows your potential to danger. He knows some of us are so, so easily to be upset or to be presented with things, amen, that are not of God. And God knows our limitations. So this is why it's critical in this hour that we take the opportunity to allow God to perfect us. Amen. To mold and to make us, get us rooted in the faith. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Ask yourself, am I in position? Am I progressing? And am I perfecting? Amen. And see, remember, your perfection don't come by your option. Your perfection does not come by your option. Because many times when God tells us things that we should not do, we try to make options. The flesh will always try to give you options as to why you can do something different. But we must discipline ourselves. Paul said it like this: I beat my body, I bring it under subjection. Why? Because he understands that if I don't discipline myself, amen, I might fall, amen, to those things of the flesh that come against me. So I discipline my body. When you discipline your body, that means you make it do what it don't want to do. When you discipline your mind, that means you put it in a position that it has to be governed by a different authority. Woo, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. So I discipline my body. I bring it under subjection. This is a part of the perfection of holiness. Because what? You want to be completely aligned with the things of Christ. You don't want to be consistently, you know, bouncing, right? We don't want to be tossed and driven, easily tossed and driven, right? The enemy can tell me, well, just do this, and we do it. Well, do that, and you would do it. No, we want to have some resistance in our spirit. To say, come on, when the enemy come up to present us something, we're going to say, no, I'm not doing that. No is a very powerful word when it comes to perfecting holiness. Perfecting the things of Christ in your life. Because why? Some many times we admit we want to do those things. The good I would. That I don't do. Every time I desire to do good, evil is present with me. Because it's easier for you to do evil than it is to do good. So we must understand this is why it's necessary to discipline ourselves in this hour. That's why he says now, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. How do I cleanse myself? Through the word. Amen. Through yielding to the things of Christ. Taking his word holistically in my heart and meditating upon it day and night. Paul said, I die daily. Every day you crucify the flesh to its own passions and its desires. Because it's easier, amen, for you to sin just like that. Amen. Let me step on your toe. Amen. And you'll find out if you got the Holy Ghost or not. Amen. So we have to, this is why we have to work with God and work with the word and allow God to work with us. So we cleanse ourselves from what? All the filthiness. Amen. From all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Okay. So there's two components working here, the flesh and the spirit. Amen. So this is why we must challenge ourselves. And sometimes we might not even want to do right. Amen. Sometimes you don't feel like doing right. Y'all don't say it, but I'm saying it for you. You know, go why? Why is that? Because sometimes it takes more power and energy to do right than it do to do wrong. Right? It's easy to fall in the wrong, but it takes credibility to do right. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because sometimes when you do right, amen, you don't see no value. Woo! Yes, yes, yes. You don't see no value. Why? Because when it comes to walking in obedience with Christ, amen, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your desire. It's going to cost you that passion. It's going to cost you that temptation. Come on, it's going to cost you that desire that you really want to do. But you don't, because the Lord said, no, you can't do that. But then you start asking God, why can't I do it? I want to do it. I feel like doing it. You know what? I'm going to do it. Because the enemy has to convince you that you have the power for self-gratitude. It's me, myself, and I ain't hurting nobody. Amen. But no, you're hurting Christ. And you're hurting your spirit. You're hurting your eternity. You're stopping yourself, amen, from progressing forward. Amen. Well, Bishop, why are you taking all this time to talk about this? Amen. Because if we don't cleanse ourselves, then we set ourselves up, amen, for failure. Because we have to walk according to the promise, and we must walk according, amen, to his word. And we must allow it to hurt us. It's going to hurt you sometime to do right.
That's right.
Because you really want to do wrong.
That's right.
But you must understand, I can walk away knowing I done right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you for doing right. Even though my flesh didn't like it, but I praise you, God, for doing right. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because I know I'm walking away. I'm still saved. Amen. Thank you, God. I'm still delivered. Thank God. I'm still washed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm still sanctified. I thank you, God. I'm still justified. I praise you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the flesh on the other side saying, see, you know you really want to do it. You really want to do it. But the spirit will say, hold on, hold on. Be strong of a good courage. Amen. Because, see, that lets you know for the first time in a long time you got dominance over your flesh.
That's right.
And the flesh don't like it. Woo, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to tell y'all what all this means in a few minutes. So, we must cleanse ourselves. Check this out. This is the Amplified Version. Therefore, since these great promises are ours, this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything. Somebody say everything. That contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration, whoo, Jesus, to completeness in the reverential fear of God. So we are cleansing all contaminants. We're getting rid of that stuff, that junk, amen, that's in our suitcase that we don't need for glory. Thank you, Jesus. We're emptying out that stuff. All those contaminants and everything that's trying to impede us from moving forward. And hallelujah, because why? We want our consecration to be complete. Woo, Jesus, because we're going to walk in the fear of God. We're going to walk in the awe of God, the awesomeness of God, the reverence of God. We're going to trust God with our mind, our will, and our emotions. Sometimes it's hard to trust because you know God will demand something from you that you don't want to give away. Hallelujah. And so you must be able to trust God. Amen. Because God's going to do what's best for you because he's trying to help you to perfect holiness. Thank you, Jesus. See, keep this in mind. You can't make yourself holy. Only through Christ can we be holy. Thank you. That's why he says we are justified. He makes us righteous. You don't make yourself righteous. He makes us righteous. So this is why we must understand why we have to do our part. Because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Come on. The Bible says the righteous is going to scarcely be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. The wind of heaven going to just barely catch your behind. Thank you, Jesus. You got to understand you're going to barely, scarcely, come on, somebody, make it in. Woo. You're not so good. Only by the grace of God. And that's why you must allow him to perfect the holiness of God in you. Do you think the Lord playing with us? Mm-mm. The scripture says, if he spared not the angels that sin. Don't you understand judgment coming? And God's not going to play with that. This is why we got to make ready now and set ourselves in order now. And allow God to work in us now. Thank you, Jesus. If we was to have a testimony service, I would tell you, you got to name 10 things that's wrong with you. I promise you, all of us can name 10.
That's right.
You might want to deny some, but when we face the reality of it, we got them. Thank you. Come on, flawed. Come on, somebody. So we know we're standing on his righteousness. And it's by the grace of God I am who I am. Thank you, Jesus. All right, can I move on? Y'all want me to move on? Y'all just tell me to move on. Amen. All right, thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, Jesus. But I want you to really think about this. Now look over in chapter 5. Look over in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. I mean 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look in chapter 5. Paul moves further. Because now he remembered in verse 16, 17, and 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he begins to talk to us about the coming of the Lord. And then over in chapter 5, he moves forward. And he begins to make a discussion about something. It's a few points I want to point out here that he indicates. Now, verse 1 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Why does he say that? Because he's already discussed it in verse 16, 17, and 18 of chapter 4. He said, "I've already told you what's going to happen. So it's no need for me to repeat that and to go back over that. But I want you to understand is he mentions times and the seasons." In other words, he wants us to understand that, listen, I'm not able to tell you when Christ is coming, but my assignment is to let you know he is coming and that we might be ready when he comes. But thank you, Jesus. And what he does, he sets a stage that, listen, I'm going to give you a chronological time frame of what's going to happen in the process of Christ coming, so that you can be aware, amen, of the fact why you need to progress, why you need to perfect holiness, why you need to remain sanctified and to continue to go forward in the things of God, because the times and the seasons are going to be critical. Amen. Because there's going to be a chronological time. Because when he talks about times here, he's talking about chronos, which means chronological. I'm going to tell you the sequence of setting of events and the times or the nature of what's going to happen. These things are going to take place. And are you ready, amen, for these events? I want you to ask yourself, am I ready for the trumpet? Amen. Am I ready for the trumpet? Oh, I'm starting to feel it now, Jesus. Okay, so these events are going to be climatic. They are going to be changeable, and they're going to be chronological. They're going to hit in such a manner that nobody can deny its manifestation. And but we, as the people of God, we got to be ready to understand it doesn't matter when it happens, doesn't matter when it takes place. I know I'm ready. And see, that's the confidence you must have. Whenever you decide, God, I'm ready. I'm a shohosha. Glory to God. Now, look at verse 2. He says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, he's beginning to tell us, okay, now, here's why you need to be stay ready. Get ready, stay ready. Because it's going to come as a thief in the night. The coming of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Now, if you knew when a thief was coming, would you not be prepared? Amen. If you know a thief is going to break in your house at 10 o'clock in the night, amen, you'll be in your house, won't you? You'll have your stuff ready, right? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Because you're expecting him, right, to show up. The same concept is Christ is coming as a thief in the night, but we don't know the time that he's coming. So therefore, we have been voided of some information that lets us know we cannot really prepare for the particular time. So we got to be prepared all the time. Because we don't know what chronological time he's going to show up. But we do know he's going to show up. So I have to make ready as if he's coming now. I got to get ready as if he's coming Now, oh Jesus. Okay, now. Whew. Okay, now, so what is he saying here? Now listen, y'all help me now, help me. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In other words, there is going to be a suddenly and an unexpected time that the Lord is going to announce, I'm here. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be a suddenly moment. It's going to announce itself at an inopportune time to the world. Thank you, Jesus. A suddenly. Remember, you can't prepare for a suddenly because you don't know the time suddenly going to happen. So you have to be ready as if suddenly may happen at any moment. Because you can't chronologically time the nature or the season of its arrival. So you have to prepare as if it's going to happen at any moment. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there is a difference in the expectation for the believer and the unbeliever. There is a difference of the expectation. Thank you, Jesus. The believers, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to look up and live. Amen. We're supposed to rejoice because we know our Lord is coming. Amen. So we don't hold our head down in sorrow and in sadness, but we hold our head up with joy and rejoicing because we know our Lord is coming. Thank you, Jesus. So it's not a sorrow for us that know the Lord. Come on, somebody. I hope it's not a sorrow for you. Amen. Because I know all of you know the Lord. Amen. So it should be a rejoicing for us because the King is coming. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we're living for. That our Lord will come. Amen. And take us out of this miserable life. Amen. Take us into his glorious appearance that we will enjoy our heavenly inheritance with him. Thank you, Jesus. But are you ready for it? Now, are you packed? Are you ready? Thank you, Jesus. I think there was a song that says packing up, getting ready to go. Thank you, Jesus. Are you packing up? Are you ready? Amen. Are you looking up? Amen. Knowing that your hope and your help is in the name of the Lord. So this is the expectation of the believer. Amen. We are not surprised at the suddenly because that's why we are saved. So that when he comes, we will be with him and we'll be like him. Come on, somebody. Woo, Jesus. But for the unbeliever, thank you, Jesus, it's going to be a suddenly. I say for the unbeliever, it's going to be a suddenly because they're not expecting anything to happen. They're not expecting Jesus to come. Thank you, Jesus. They said they've been talking about that a long time. See, you don't know how he's going to come. He might knock on your life today and say, come on, today is your hour. Thank you, Jesus. Or whether or not we're going to be alive when he comes to take the church out of this world. We don't know, right? So we got to prepare and rejoice and be ready as a believer. But for the unbeliever, they're going to be caught completely by surprise. Amen. I don't know about you, but many times the devil told us that, you know, you got time to get right with God. You know, just take your time. You still got some partying to do, child. You know, come on. You ain't shook enough booty yet. Amen. You ain't. Lord have mercy. I can't preach no real people here. Amen. You ain't got down tonight and you ain't satisfied yet. But no man knows the minute nor the hour. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. But they're going to come to know their judgment. Woo, Jesus. But we the believer, we ain't got to worry about that. Because we're going to be caught up. We're going to be snatched away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm concerned for the unbeliever that walks with a fallacy to think that they got time Time waits for no man, but at the time that they take, amen, could be the time that they lost. Amen. And we don't know when he might call us. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Lord, have mercy. But are you ready? Amen. Are you ready now with a confidence in your spirit that I'm not concerned about the time? I'm not concerned because, see, as a believer, I don't have to be worried that he's coming as a thief in the night. But the unbeliever going to be caught up in a suddenly. Thank you, Jesus. Ask yourself, am I ready? Am I ready? Amen. I hope you're in the Zoom room. I hope you're ready. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you're ready. Amen. Because this is going to be a moment and this is going to be a time. Amen. That's going to be so critical to the world. Thank you, Jesus. And we cannot escape it. Amen. Let me pause for a moment. Go to Isaiah chapter 13. Let me just show you this from the scripture. Isaiah chapter 13. Amen. Give me about 10 Holy Ghost minutes and I'm going to be out of your way. Isaiah chapter 13. Thank you, Jesus. I think this is a very powerful verse. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Thank you. Chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9 through 11. Are we there? It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the hand desolate, or lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. What you're saying? The unbeliever has no way out unless they come through Christ. It ain't my Bible. It's in the Bible. They have no way out. Amen. Somebody said, well, why are we preaching gloom and doom? I'm not. I'm just telling you that for a believer, my God, it's rejoicing time. Thank you, Jesus. It's a day of rejoicing for us. But the unbeliever, the ones we got to testify to, we got to witness to let them know, wait a minute, you're not going to make this trip if you don't have Christ. Because you will not escape this judgment. Notice what he says in verse 3. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not, what? Escape. Thank you, Jesus. They will not be able to run from this judgment. Peace and safety. And Jesus talked about this even in his day when they talked about the fact, they say, well, the Lord has delayed his coming. Amen. And so they walk around. They still do what they do. Right. Amen. And some of us was there because if God hadn't snatched us out, we'd still be partying. Oh, Jesus. Amen. So we must understand, amen, that when this thing happens, amen, everybody say everything is good, everything going well, amen, I'm having a good time, I'm living a good life, amen. When they say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction come upon them. Mm-hmm. Everything will look secure. Everything will look peaceful. It looks like the world is kind of settling down. Things are looking good. Amen. And they're not worried. Amen. And think about this now. Look at this contrast. Think about this. Many people in the world right now not worried about the virus. Just look at Myrtle Beach. They down there getting down. Amen. Hallelujah. So many people in the world is not really worried about the virus. They're more worried about their freedom to express themselves. It's the church folk that's scared. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to get confident, right? And knowing, hey, God gonna protect us. And we're gonna be wise and take care of ourselves. Amen. But we must understand that the world is not worrying about certain things. People are still partying, they're living it up. Amen. And when this event takes place, amen, they're gonna still be doing that stuff. And it's gonna hit them suddenly. By surprise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Do you remember when the Twin Towers hit New York? Amen. Where were you at when the Twin Towers hit New York? Amen. We was on an airplane? When the airplane hit the Twin Towers. Amen. The airplane hit, and man, everybody went in chaos, right? Man, oh my God. Some were thinking, man, we're under a nuclear attack. Amen. All kind of stuff are going on. You know, people were scared. I mean, it was chaos. Thank you, Jesus. Some were thinking the rapture had come. Thank you, Jesus. We won't talk about that part yet, but. So it was a lot of things going on in our mind, right? Amen. Oh my God, the troops gonna have to go to fight. Oh man, all kind of stuff was going on. We didn't know. Oh gee, please don't let them hit the nuclear button. Jesus, please not now. So it was a cataclysmic moment. It was a suddenly unexpected. Amen. And can you imagine all humanity will face this grappling experience? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the scripture says, like a woman who's travailing, amen, in birth pains. You know, I never been pregnant, thank God. Amen. So, amen. And so you can only imagine, amen, a woman who's about to break forth, amen, with that moment of suddenly. You know you got a due date. But then all of a sudden, amen, God said, no, that baby coming now. And something hits you suddenly. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Hallelujah. Your water break. Something suddenly happens to announce to you, amen, that something is about to happen. And when the world gets hit with this announcement, Lord, have mercy. There's going to be a sudden moment. Now, let me show you this. And I'm getting ready to leave you in a few. And let me show you this. Notice, if you study the scripture and you read and you look at where is America? Where is America at the coming of the Lord? What is our fate as a nation? Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Woo, Jesus, Lord have mercy. Now, it is mentioned from a historical point. It is mentioned that when the rapture happens, that America will become a third-rate nation. We will be suddenly, instantly thrust into a mannerism that we no longer have the superiority. Can you imagine having a number of troops that defend us and half of them gone in a moment? Who gonna defend us? That's gonna be a sudden moment. Who gonna defend us? Thank you, Jesus. It's gonna be chaos. Thank you, Jesus. What we knew to be peace and safety, suddenly, thank you, Jesus, we're gonna be cast into chaos. And every eye shall see him. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! But for the church, Lord have mercy. Woo! You might be at your job. Amen. But all of a sudden, gone. Hallelujah. You're going to be driving down the road. You're on your way to Walmart, but suddenly. Ooh, Jesus, gone. Thank you, Jesus. So in an instant, the world is going to lose a portion of its population. Chaos. But for the church, rejoicing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to leave you with verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, because we are the church of the living God, because we are in Christ, Christ is in us. This darkness will not overtake us. It will be no surprise for us. Thank you, Jesus. Because the Bible says we shall be changed in a moment at the twinkling of an eye. Thank you, Jesus. And remember, I told you, now you don't have time to repent. Because see, I just blinked. It's just that you didn't got time to get a word out. Thank you, Jesus. So you better maximize the time you got right now. Amen. To make sure you get it right with God. Because in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Woo, thank you, Jesus. You ever wonder what you're going to look like when you get to, when you come to that moment? The Bible said this mortal shall put on immortality. Thank you, Jesus. This old fleshly form that we have now won't be nothing compared to the glory that we're going to receive. But we got to make sure while we got that opportunity to continue to make ready. And how, Bishop, how I'm going to continue to make ready? I'm going to continue to cast myself on the altar of God. I'm going to continue to put my trust in the Lord. I'm going to continue to die daily. I'm going to continue to seek to walk in obedience to the will of God. Even if it hurts my flesh, I choose to deny my flesh the right to rule over me. I resist its passions. I resist its desires. Amen. I submit myself to God. As 1 Peter 5 talks about, submit myself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from me. Because why? Your passion sometimes will overwhelm you and overtake you. So we got to be resistant to these human passions that will try to lead us astray from the things of God. Because as a believer, he tells me I won't have to worry about this darkness that's going to hit the world, because my help is in the name of the Lord. And because when that trump of the Lord shall sound, thank you, Jesus. He said, it's going to sound. Amen. Amen. It's going to sound. And you and I are going to be able to know this is the Lord. Amen. And we are going with him. Are you ready now? Are you ready? Amen. Are you ready? Thank you, Jesus. And we might say, well, God, you know, Bishop talking about all that rhetoric and all that kind of stuff. This stuff ain't going to happen. They've been saying that a long time. You know, I'm tired of them preaching about hell and brimstone and all that kind of stuff. That stuff ain't going to happen. That's what the devil wants you to believe. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Jesus said what was going to happen. Jesus said, like, just in the days of Noah. Uh-huh. They're going to be marrying. Amen. Giving in marriage. They're going to be partying, reveling, partying, just doing what they normally want to do. Amen. And just as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be just like that. And it's going to be a suddenly moment. Them folk laughed. Can you imagine God telling you to build an ark? And it never rained. And folk looking at you, and they come out there on purpose just to laugh at you. That's like the world laughing at you because you say, I love the Lord. I choose to serve Christ. And the world want to laugh at you. Amen. But Lord, I can just only imagine when them raindrops started dropping. Woo, Jesus. Their heart and mind melted. Let me in, let me in. But you have to let them know I don't have enough oil in my lamp for me and you. Amen. You got to have your own oil because I have made myself ready. Thank you, Jesus. And I have confidence if I stay on course. Amen. And what I want you to understand in all of this, understand that living right, it costs you. It's a commitment. It's a relationship. But it's worth it because you can walk out with your head up saying, no, I know my help is in the name of the Lord. My confidence is in my God. And whenever he might call me, because we don't know when God might call us. But I know, Lord, I'm ready. Hallelujah. I'm ready. I trust you because if the enemy had his way, he would lead all of us into destruction. That's what he does. The Bible says he would blind the minds of men to accept the validity of who Christ is in your life. He wants you to walk in marrying and partying. Amen. I know that music sounds good because, you know, God, that's why God had to deliver us out of that. Amen. He had to deliver you. Come on, from boogie down and get down tonight. Come on, somebody. Come on, because you were used to shaking it. You were the star of the party. The party didn't start till you got there. Can't get no help right there. But you got another party. Hallelujah. And it's called Jesus. Woo, the blood of the Lamb. And that party I'd rather be in. Amen. Because I know that's an eternal party. Amen, and glorifying him. So now what must I do? Okay, I got to get a grip on myself. Okay, I got to come to reality. What is it going to cost me? Am I truly committing myself to the things of Christ? Because see, you can't do it just because somebody tell you to. You got to do it because you know you want to live for Christ. And you make a true commitment to say, God, Lord, I know I'm jacked up. I know I'm about half cray cray. And Lord, I know I've got some things going on. And I know I've been hard headed and disobedient. Amen. Thank you. I want to do my own thing. Amen. Anybody ever felt like that? Amen. And God knows you better than you do. And so the best thing to do is to thrust yourself on the altar of God. And say, God, with all me, myself, and I still choose to give myself to you. Because I know at the end of the day, it's going to be better for me if I trust you. Because if I trust me, amen, the enemy going to destroy me. So it's better for me to trust you so that I can live for you. Amen. And when you let him crush you, when you let him mold you, you're going to realize, and let me tell you what's going to happen. When you make up your mind you want to do right, some of your buddies and partners are going to show up. And they're going to say, child, let's go to the club. Man, you know, I remember when we used to drink and we used to do this and we used to do that. Man, you know, and you start, yeah, bro, yes, you know. You start reminiscing and. And you just driving down the road and all of a sudden they put on your song. Child, I remember when. You know. So you want to go back. Because the enemy want to always take you back to memories to make you feel like you left something so good. Because let's all admit, flesh felt good, didn't it? Amen. Someone might say, yum, yum, amen. But, you know. but in the Lord. We got to say, oh man, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Ooh, Jesus, good. So you trade that of the world to receive that of Christ. And then what else going to happen to you is that when you make that decision, say, God, because every day you got to make a decision. God, okay, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to give myself to the Lord. And then when you decide to do that, all of a sudden, you know, sometimes even friends will leave you. Because you won't do what they do. And they feel like you're being holier than thou. Oh, you're just one of them holy rollers over there, ain't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can call me Holy Roller. You can call me Rolaid. You can call me whatever. But I know my help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. Because when he saved me, amen, I didn't save myself. So I'm committed to allowing him, amen, to get the glory out of my life. Amen. So somebody said, keep pressing. Stay committed. Amen. Get perfected. Amen. And don't worry, because God gonna get the glory out of your life. Some of you might even be struggling right now, but I prophesy to your strength. And I call you out of those deep, dark things that seems to attract you. Amen. That seems to want to draw you back. Thank you, Jesus. But I pray that the strength of God will cover you. That the grace of God will go before you. And I bind that enemy that sets that trap for you. Because see, where the enemy knows where you're weak, he'll set a trap for you. Amen. He just continue to try to manipulate your mind, manipulate your spirit, to make you feel like you can't get out of this. Amen. You got to stay with me. But I call you out in the name of the Lord. I call you set free from that entanglement of the enemy, from the traps that the enemy has sown to snare you and to gripple your mind and to change your affection from the things of God. Because the enemy wants you to empty out your suitcase and say no for God, but yes to the world. Amen. But I reverse the curse. Hallelujah. And of the enemy's assignment on your life, where he's trying to entangle your thoughts and your mind. Amen. Because you remember when and you know, I feel like I want to take a drink because, you know, my partners and my friends, they came from out of town. And I think it's only right that I take a drink with them because that's what they do. But no, I renounce the hidden things of your heart. Amen. That you will not be captivated, hallelujah, by soul, but you will stand firm in your faith and you will renounce the hidden things of your heart and that you will open yourself up to the will of God and say, yes, Lord, to your will, even though it hurts you on the inside, but because you know it's the right thing to do to say, yes, Lord, to your will. Yes to you, Lord. No to me. Because I'm a destructive force. So, God, I got to stay with you. Amen. I prophesy to your victory that the God will shift your mindset. That the things that you are thinking about, the things that you are attracted to, will be the power will be taken away from those things. I cast that weapon down that the enemy has formed against you to try to blind you and to stop you from serving God with your whole heart. I release the passion of the Spirit of God over your mind and your mindset. Over your passion and your desire that you will fall in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. And the love of Christ will keep you. For your faith does not stand in the wisdom of men, but your faith stands in the power of God. And that no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. That you will rise up in victory and you'll be able to throw up clean and holy hands and announce to the enemy and announce to yourself that I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I will finish my course. Hallelujah. I thank you. I call you out of the dark things of your closet. Thank you, Jesus, to cast down every stronghold of the enemy. I pull it down over you right now in the name of Jesus. Woo, you might have been thinking, but as soon as Bishop say amen, I got to go meet my girl, meet my boy at the club. But I counsel that assignment over you right now in the name of Jesus. We're not going to take a social drink, but we're going to have a drink of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Let your lips be sealed by the power of God. That no foreign items or things will be the end of your mouth. Hallelujah. But it will be cut loose and it will be cut off in the name of Jesus. That when you try to go in and receive something that's not of God, you are regurgitated in the name of Jesus. That the Spirit of God will touch you with a conviction, amen, in such a way it will transform your life. Thank you that you going for one thing, but you went in and start talking about Jesus, and it changed the whole atmosphere of your life. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! We scatter and we disappoint and we upset every strategic plan of the enemy against the people of God, because we're going to rejoice. We're looking for the coming of the Lord, and we're going to stay ready because we're going to encourage one another. Amen. We're going to push one another. When I see you weak, I'm going to grab you. Amen. And pull you up and say, come on, you can do it. You can make it. Hallelujah. For our help is in the name of the Lord. Wash us, God. I pray he wash you. I pray he sanctify you. Woo. Thank you, Jesus, that he cleanse us from all filthiness of our flesh and our spirit. And then when it's all said and done, we pull off the blindfold and we say, yes, God. Yes to your will. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because I want to be able to hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Help me, God. I prophesy to somebody's philosophical mindset that you allow human analogy, amen, to try to blind you to spiritual reality. That you try to convince yourself that you can do things your way. I pull down, amen, that masquerade in the name of Jesus. And I release the Holy Spirit to pull you back and change your mind about the things of Christ. And that the planting of his word will go in the depths of your heart. And it will break up the fallow ground and cause you to experience God in a more real way. That the manifestation of his presence while you're walking through your home, while you're riding down the road, going to your job, whatever case might be, that the Spirit of God will hit you with new revelation of him. That he would show you that I've been trying to keep you. I've been trying to protect you. In the name of Jesus, I cast down every evil work of the enemy that's trying to operate against the people of God. Thank you, Jesus. And let us walk in victory. Let us walk in love. Let us walk in your peace. Because, God, we want to know we are ready. Ready to meet you. We don't want to see you in fear, but we want to be to meet you in peace. We want to be able to rejoice in knowing, God, that you're going to call us and you're going to bring us into your glory. And we thank you and we honor you. We praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whoosha. My God, I thank you in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, God, I'm also whoosha. Yeah, I see shot glasses being pushed to the side in the name of Jesus. Whoosha. In the name of Jesus. Whoosha. Yeah, God, I thank you. Them bottles up in the cabinet that's hiding out, crushing them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. Yeah, God, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Even that reefer smoke being extinguished in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I ain't saying y'all doing it. I'm just talking about what the Holy Ghost sharing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That I'm also Hoshandi in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I praise you. Thank you. The doors is being shut to certain areas of our lives. That what the enemy sent to trap us, God is closing the door. Now you got to make the right decision to say no to the enemy and say yes to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, yes. Yes, God. Thank you. Oh, Shanda Basti. Woo, I see that spirit of lust being restricted and tied in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, don't worry, I ain't going to call you out. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm just speaking in the atmosphere by the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're going to walk in the divine authority and victory of God. Thank you. You already have the victory. You just got to agree with God and accept his victory and his love for you. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Lord, have mercy. I thank you. I thank you. Some of you are going to see manifestation. You're going to see victory. You're going to see turnaround. And God going to give you a choice. He said, now make the right choice. Make the right choice. Choose me. Amen. Choose life. Come on. Before you stands life and death. Choose life. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God. Woo. Even mindsets where mind has been refocused and the enemy trying to entangle you and trap you and lure you into things. God is shifting that and he's changing that mindset to cause you to realize, wait a minute, you can't do it like that. You got to do it like me. You got to stay with me. He's changing that mindset. Even in that living room right now, the Holy Ghost, I release him in the name of Jesus to move in the midst of your home. Amen. Right there in your living room. Hallelujah. I bind the attack of the enemy over your life and cause you to walk in liberty with Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you come out of those dark things, those dead things, and you walk in true victory with the Lord Jesus Christ. I call you out of that right now. Holy Ghost, arrest in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you and I praise you and I give you the glory. And see, and the Holy Spirit is telling me that, see, some of you didn't even mean to allow that to happen, but because that you set yourself in the atmosphere to be susceptible to it. Amen. So you got to detach yourself from the atmosphere and not allow yourself to be caught up and make the enemy feel like, well, you can handle it. No, you can't handle it. Amen. You got to get stronger. Amen. In the name of the Lord, let God lead you and he'll bring you out. He will show you the victory in the name of the Lord. And God, I thank you. And God, I praise you. And God, I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.